You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Primetime Action, hour number two, Monday night from the South Point Hotel Casino. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. Glad you could join us tonight for Washington and Seattle. Game coming up here in 15 minutes. We have a few NBA tips as well. I'm seeing this game toggle back to 1.5 now in some spots as well. So this is a little resistance, I'm seeing.
We're getting some action on this. Rest of country, you can find everywhere from a 1.5 to a 2.5 in this thing. So there's 1.5 to 2.5 available depending on where you look. So be sure and shop around and get in on that. And also from a total perspective, there's everything from 46 all the way to 47.5. So there's a 1.5 difference between some books out there. So again, something else to shop around for there.
Yeah, it looks like we're in Vegas. We're painted 1.5 pretty much everywhere at this point. Circa got up to 2, but they're back down to 1.5.
And this is, I think, one of those things we speculated on this a few weeks ago, and I think it's just the truth, right? There's gonna be less reaction around here because there's fewer people betting into these markets here because we're just state, you know. Whereas These markets are getting bet into by the rest of the country. And like you said, Kelly, it probably was a lot of people who got home from work and said, wait, Russell Wilson's only a one point favorite against the Wooft. I'm betting Russell Wilson for sure, you know.
I still think one of the most confusing ones to me has been those Friday line movements we've seen that are so drastic.
We're gonna start calling those like happy hour movements.
Right.
Like people leave work on a Friday and get to the bar.
Make some bets.
Have them a few cocktails and they're kinda like, so what do you like on Sunday?
It's what it has to be. It doesn't make any other sense. Yeah. We just sit here, do this. We've done this same type of show on Fridays for 2 years now. Yeah. And just in the past month, we sit here and we're like, wait, what? This line moved 2 points in the past 3 hours? Yeah.
But we've known this information for days.
Yeah, we're going to find out. Those are happy hour bets. They need to put out a survey and be like, when do you make your bets? And be like, is it between 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. on a Friday? People be like, you know what? I do make the majority of my bets between 5 and 8 on a Friday.
This just in, it's Russell Wilson's 33rd birthday. Oh, boy. That changes everything.
Now we know why everybody's betting.
There you go.
What's the trend on that, Matt?
I was going to say the trend, yes, he has covered at least one time on his actual birthday.
At least once.
So there is that.
Mm. Dating back to high school.
Dating back twice. Dating back to middle school.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he also went 3 for 4 in a game one time because, you know, former baseball player.
Right. No, I understand.
There you go. All right. Quick updates from some of the other games we got going on. In the NBA, two games in action. Sixers up on the Magic at half, 54-43. They are Sixers 15.5-point live favorites, 201.5 the live total in that one. And then the other game going on is the Nuggets in the Heat. Jokic back tonight for the Nuggets. They lead the Heat 25-20, 3 minutes left in the first quarter. Nuggets 1.5 live and 213.5 the live total. One college basketball game going on. Big Ten ACC Challenge. Iowa up on Virginia 49-36. 16.5 minutes left to go in that game. Iowa 11.5-point live favorite, 142.5 the live total. And that's everything we got going on right now. A couple NBA games about to tip. Thunder at the Rockets. Rockets a 2-point favorite, 216.5 the total. Pacers at the Timberwolves. Timberwolves 3.5 to 4-point favorite, 220 the total there. Hornets at the Bulls. Bulls a 5-point favorite, 223.5 to 224 the total in that game. Zach LaVine is a go tonight for the Bulls. He was questionable earlier today.
What's going to be your excitement level tomorrow night, Kelly, when the 18-2 Golden State Warriors, they have a 7-game winning streak, travel to take on the Phoenix Suns? Winners of 16 in a row at 17-3. Phoenix favored by 2.5.
Big game. Warriors have been that hot. I mean, that number will move. I think that's going to be closer to a pick 'em. The Warriors fever that's sweeping the nation right now. I don't know if about, but they do have a back to back because they are posting the Blazers tonight.
Oh, that is true.
So that's what's baked into that.
Who's facing the Blazers tonight?
Aren't the Warriors playing Blazers tonight?
Uh-uh.
No, Blazers are at the Jazz. Yeah. Never mind.
Never.
Bump, bump.
Scratch
bump,
that.
Bam.
I don't know why I thought Warriors. That was the
never
other
you
night.
Mind that. Yeah, I mean, it should be fun tomorrow night. We'll be here for that. Matt, you will not be here tomorrow?
I will not be here.
Okay.
Not be here tomorrow.
Matt's got a thing.
Award season.
There you go.
Award season.
Got a thing.
Seahawks, left guard, Damian Lewis, out. Running backs, Rashad Penny, Travis Homer, both out. Corner, Trey Brown, is out. Also, they have a swing lineman in Jamarco Jones. He is also out for them tonight. On the Washington side of things, not completely clean for them. Sam Cosmi made it back out again this week. So without a starting tackle for them. Tight end Ricky Seals-Jones is out. But the good news, if you're a Washington fan from the offensive perspective, is you are going to get some snaps. Now, it's not going to be a full complement of snaps, but you're going to get some snaps out of Curtis Samuel tonight, apparently sitting around 20-ish snaps for Curtis Samuel tonight. And then you're going to get Logan Thomas back tonight. And like I said, he's going to be forced into action because Ricky Seals-Jones out. He's going to have to get more snaps for him tonight. Apparently, he could play up to 50, according to Ron Rivera, in this thing. The Seahawks have scored 13 points over the last two games since Russ came back from that finger injury. Total, they have a total of 474 yards of offense in those last two games as well. So, not great, Bob. When you look at this, also, here's the other thing, and this is one of the deals that we've been dealing with Russell Wilson and this Seattle Seahawks team for quite some time, is this offensive line has just not been able to give him any sort of cover, has not been able to give him any sort of time to throw the ball. And then the other thing with all of that is that just kind of leads to a trickle effect of all these other stats that, like, for example, Wilson is last in the league in completion rate on third downs this season. So when they know they've got to throw, these teams are pinning back and they're getting pressure on him, and, like, they can't block, and so he can't complete passes. Wilson has been sacked on 23% of his third down dropbacks, which is the highest in the league as well. So one every four third down dropbacks, he's getting sacked even on all that, which of course equates to this team being 30th in the league in third down conversions. And so you get that, so you have a team heading in the wrong direction, it would seem, coming in with a team that seems like it's heading in the right direction. Washington football team, winners of two in a row. Taylor Heinicke has actually completed over three-quarters of his passes over the last two games as well. Actually, 78% of his passes over the last two games as well. And you get a guy here that, look, finding his stride, doing well the last couple of games, and then what a blessing it is to get Seattle come to town, who is last in the NFL in sack rate and at the bottom of the league in quarterback hits as well. So he shouldn't be getting molested back there too much. And I think that with that, that equals some pretty good potential here through the air. And I talked about the props that I have in this game. I'm over on Heinicke passing yards. I'm over on McLaurin. I'm over on Logan Thomas as well. And, you know, we know that these same game parlays for rest of country are super, super popular. And so we just did a little finagling of our own over here. And so if you did want to ride those, one of the things they'll let you do is play the alt numbers as well. So you don't have to play the 239.5 that I played, which actually right now we said at DraftKings is 246.5. You can play over 224.5. McLaurin's receiving yards is 66.5, but you can play 55 or more. Logan Thomas's receiving yards is 32.5. You can play 25 or more and get basically 2-1 on that same game parlay, which again is all super, super highly correlated, right? Because if Heinicke hits his over on passing yards, his top two receiving options are likely to get theirs as well. And not only likely to get theirs, but it's again at a reduced number from what their prop is even sitting at right now. And if you believe that they win this game, if you believe that they just keep this game close, whatever it might be, you could also add on, again, another correlated kind of play there, which would be you can do anything they allow you to add on. Kill, it's so crazy. I think I would just end up playing, like, these things for fun for, like, so much. Because you could add on, like I said, so yeah. you could put plus 10.5 on Washington right now, and that bumps that 195 up to 275. Or if you think that they're going to win this thing by a touchdown, you could go even further down and make this thing like a 6-7, 8-1 type payout, depending on what, you know, alt line you wanted to play on all that. Also, if you added Terry McLaurin as an anytime touchdown scorer to that one, it does get it up to 6-1 as well. So again, there's just all these different ways you could kind of play those
and things. Sports betting purists, we know
we get
we
it.
Are not getting the proper bang for our buck, but the trade-off is that you can actually actually make these correlated bets. If you know that that's happening and you're still willing to make the bet, then everything's kosher.
Right.
Just want to point that out.
No one's sneaking it by you.
Okay.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah.
Stop with the tweets.
Sneaking it by you.
All right. First touchdown score. Are we back to zero on this or are we carryover?
To zero because I won Thanksgiving.
Sorry I asked.
Dawson/ Russell Knox got it home for me.
That's right. Fort Knox won it for you.
Primetime just tells us on Twitter, though, this is true. This is a birthday spot. For Russell Wilson.
It's a birthday spot.
So this is the birthday spot.
That's right.
This is the birthday spot.
All right. This is the first time I've ever been first. This is very exciting. I am going with Terry McLaurin.
Is it me or you, Kelly?
You.
Me. All right. Let me go. You know what? Give me the big man. Give me Logan Thomas.
Oh.
Give me the big man.
All right.
Dang it.
What do you want to bet? Never mind.
I know exactly who you should pick. But like
DK Metcalf.
That was not
the guy. Of course he's going to pick. I mean, he picks the short shot every single time. We knew who he was going to pick.
Like if my mother could be in here. Yeah. I'd be like, Ema, just pick the first one.
Yeah.
She'd be like,
we know who he's going to pick.
What is a Metcalf?
We know who he's going to pick.
Yeah.
This guy.
DK Metcalf. All right. Cool for you. I thought you were going to go Heinicke. But too late now.
I wanted to be on the other side after you two both were watching.
Heinicke will absolutely make this a carryover the next time. Watch that happen. All right, first touchdown score. The Skins game sweeping the nation. When we come back, we will have the kickoff. Seattle and Washington. We'll also look at those AFC numbers as well. That and so much more. Week 13 lines. It is VSiN's Primetime Action Monday Night Football.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Primetime Action, live from the South Point, a game about to start between Seattle and Washington. The college football coaching carousel continues on the heels of Lincoln Riley this weekend announcing that Oklahoma just lost Oklahoma State, literally as he's walking off the field. Not quite that literal. But he is on his way to be the head coach of USC for Lincoln Riley. You got to love the move. You're going from Norman to L.A. You're also avoiding the SEC and get to have a more leisurely go of it at the Pac-12. Rumors today about Cliff Kingsbury being on the mind of the Oklahoma Sooners. Cliff Kingsbury not really going out of his way to dispel his interest.
It's that these agents are a masterclass is going on right now by these agents. That is completely to get a new extension and a new contract. He's only got one year left on his deal, so that is completely to get a new contract. And good on them. Cliff Kingsbury, we all saw the picture of him sitting in that house, and he's sitting in a first-place team in the NFL. There's zero chance. He's like, you know what? Yeah, let me go to Norman, Oklahoma. Yeah, that sounds great.
And here's the latest for your LSU Tigers. According to Pete Thamel, who covers college football for Yahoo, LSU will reportedly hire Notre Dame's Brian Kelly to be their next head football coach.
I had heard the smoke all day long. And I thought it was a little odd, I guess, because there is still that backdoor chance that they could make the playoffs.
There is, absolutely. It's not so backdoor either, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, three different games kind of go wonky or whatever, and they get in. But man, look, here's the deal. He's kind of a no nonsense dude.
Heinicke misses a wide open Logan Thomas.
Yeah, I could have used those yards right there. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
From both of them.
Yeah.
From both of those
guys. Jeez, what was that?
I'm on those two with you as well.
Yeah, it's like I could have used that. That'd have been if you'd have, and stuff.
You kind of like it, though.
I like it. Look, he's the opposite of the last two coaches they've had there. We've had a couple of doofuses in a row, and so you get a guy that's kind of no nonsense.
I believe that's doofuses.
Doofusi. We've had a couple doofusi as the last last couple of coaches there, and getting a guy that's kind of no nonsense, and I think it's a good change for that whole program just in general to kind of get someone in there who's not better at being a rah-rah guy and who's actually better at being a coach and getting the most out of those players. I mean, listen, I'm not complaining. I've gotten three national championships since I was in college. There's a lot of people who go their whole lives, don't get a national championship and all that. But with the amount of talent that's been in Baton Rouge over the last 20 years. Not to say that there should be more, but there's, I mean, it's just littered with four or five star guys like every single year, and to have some of the years that have been mixed in and all that, I think that a guy that's a little bit better with the X's and O's is, oh boy.
Three and out for Washington. Boy. Three and out. Terry McLaurin draped by like three Seahawks.
Yeah, I don't know who Taylor's throwing to there. That was,
yeah, that's a three and out.
You know,
to start things off.
So it'll be interesting. But like you said, I mean, so what this does now is, so now it creates another premier opening, because some big name will go to Notre Dame, which then will create another big opening, unless the guy's like coming from the NFL or something.
Let the Urban Meyer train begin, as we were talking about off air.
Yeah.
If you're Urban Meyer, you don't need exit hatch for Notre Dame.
I mean, I'm sure he is not incredibly thrilled with his NFL experience so far, would be my guess.
Matt Rhule rumored to want to get back into college football. There's that. Who knows?
Who knows?
Were you surprised by the Lincoln Riley thing at all?
Not really. It would have surprised me more if he went to LSU than if he went to Oklahoma was coming to the SEC, right? I mean, like, that's the other thing. So it's kind of like making that type move. Him going to USC didn't surprise me in the least bit. I mean, did you see the breakdown of all like the stuff that went on? Did you see the breakdown of the contract today, Kelly, and all the things that went on with all that? So like, not only is it a stupid amount of money, USC bought both of his houses.
Oh god!
That were like in Norman.
Are you serious?
Like, yeah, like, so like they like
just to make it quicker.
He didn't have to sell his houses, and like, I guess he has. Well, I mean, pretty much all these high profile coaches have access to the jet and all that. So, but he's got like the jet access and the stuff and the all. You know, I mean, like, come on, man.
Can I ask you a silly question? Like, I some of his in game decisions have always perplexed me. Like, I don't think he's all that great. I guess you're like, look, I made Baker Mayfield and I made Kyler Murray. I guess that's your resume if you buy into that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you do have two Heisman quarterbacks, right?
Jalen Hurts was great under him as well.
Yeah. And then the other thing is like, and that was in Oklahoma. Now he can recruit and keep all those guys at home in Southern California.
That's been the problem with those schools. They haven't kept them at home.
And now, I mean, like, there's already been, I mean, not poor Oklahoma, you've been winning for three decades, but they've already had like three or four recruits already, like, decommit and all that. I mean, like, it's going to be, I mean, it is a changing of, I do believe it's a changing of the landscape in college football just a little bit, because if they can keep some of these kids at home in Southern California, because they've been leaving. I mean, like, go look at Alabama and Georgia and all that. Look at their roster. Yeah. There's five or six California kids on every single one of their roster.
Same problem in Florida. And this was USC actually had one of their best. I'm looking at recruiting class rankings right now. They're seventh in the country. Oklahoma coming in at 10. Who knows after what, you know, if more of these recruits leave. But they were already having actually one of their better recruiting years.
Yeah. And now don't go get crazy and bet him to win the national championship this year. It's going to take him a couple of years to kind of get in there and then get those recruiting classes kind of, you know, cycled through and all. What did we just watch?
Three and out for Seattle.
What were the six downs between first and third between both teams?
I will tell you that Seattle's three and out looked worse than Washington. Look at this pass.
Yeah.
Look at this pass right here. Oh my goodness. Everett didn't even jump. He's like, I'm sorry. You know the outfielder who just lets the home run ball go over his head? It's like,
yeah, it's a home. Yeah, that was like the no-doubter.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, there we go.
2:28 into this game, two trading three and outs. Michael Dixon, the greatest punter there ever was, will punt it away for Seattle. Washington will get it back. We should go through some of these championship games after the break because, actually, DeAndre Carter almost muffed that. But it makes the catch, and Washington will start once again first and 10. Oh, look at all those people dressed up in burgundy. Oh, no, those are the seats. Sorry. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. I had that red, right? So these championship games on in college football on Saturday, I actually kind of like. First of all, Georgia, let's just go to the big one in the SEC. Georgia, and we'll have the college football rankings. So tomorrow night, the fifth of six college football rankings will come out. The sixth and final one will be Sunday morning, right before the NFL games, after Saturday's championship games. Of course, Georgia and Alabama. First of all, Alabama, that win over Auburn.
Whoa.
Ah, Bigsby. I was alone watching at the top of my building, like the common area. Don't ask me why I was up there. And as Bigsby is... That's the whole story. As Bigsby was running, I'm like, stay in bounds. And he called all of America, stay in bounds. And you could tell that he was like, he thought he might be able to get the first down, but he got close enough to the sidelines where he got yanked out. And that one clock stoppage was everything. And Alabama came back, forced overtime, as we all know. And then Brian Harsin didn't go for two in overtime when he had a chance to put it away, and I thought that was a huge mistake.
I thought that was confusing as well.
So I was texting everybody before that. If they score, should they go for two? Everybody, unanimous, yes. Chrissy Andrews did not think, by the way, he's the one person who did not think they should go for two. But Alabama ends up getting by. That on the heels of Ohio State having lost to Michigan badly, quite frankly, at the Big House. And so Ohio State is donezo. They're not going to the playoff.
No. No.
If Alabama loses to Georgia, I still think they're going.
It depends on how bad.
Yes. If it's close-ish.
If it's like a last-second type deal or whatever, I think now with the way that things played out, they probably stay in.
Georgia by 6.5 in the SEC championship. Who you like?
You saw that's the first time that Bama's been a dog since 2015?
That's just amazing.
It's wild. I mean, 6.5. Like I'm waiting for the first book to pop up a 7 and
They've
see how
much. They've not been a dog in 6 years.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
and you've said it before too, as a guy who grew up in the South. It's Tuscaloosa. Like your ability to create that kind of dynasty in Tuscaloosa.
It's crazy. Yeah. That is why Nick Saban is the greatest coach. It doesn't matter across no matter what. Like the fact that he can go.
LA kids.
Yeah.
Why don't you come down to Tuscaloosa?
You know what you should do? Leave the beach and whatever and come to Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
It's fine.
He's like,
we've
got a Dairy Queen. Like, you know, come on. Like, let's do this.
I think I like Georgia. Because here's the thing. While all of this is going on with the playoff, Georgia knows they got nothing to lose, right? They're in no matter what. I think
that is the only thing that scares me.
Georgia wants to destroy them.
No, I think they do, but I think that minimally scares me. There we go.
Logan Thomas for
there we go.
Five American yards. Maybe four. I don't want to get too
keep
crazy.
It going.
Might have been
keep it going.
I don't want to exaggerate. I think I like Georgia. You're scared because
I want those yards in Canadian
because they have nothing to play for. That's what you're worried about.
Yeah, they know they're in no matter what.
I don't think so. I think they're like, nope, we want to be number one because if we fall to number two or three, that's not as fun for us. Not as good of a situation. They want to play whoever's four. They want a free pass in the semi. So I think they want to play hard. Heineke, play action, a very poor play action. This is going to be Antonio Gibson. That is our first. No,
oh,
it's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Stoned.
Wow. Had he not cut back right for whatever reason.
The Bobby Wagner.
That'll be a third and one.
Oh, my goodness.
Meet Bobby Wagner. We'll come back. We'll talk more of these championship games. And hopefully Washington will matriculate the ball down the field. It's VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN Cyber Monday offer is here. Right now, when you sign up for our $99 midseason football special, you also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store with all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hat, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry! It is a limited time offer, though, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe. Washington matriculating the ball down the field, baby. Another very deliberate drive using almost 5 minutes now of the clock here in the first quarter.
Do you want to know what it was going to cost our Canadian friends?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I forgot. Now you're here with the currency.
Yeah, listen, we figured out we can't make that bet here. And hopefully, you know, if it gets home, hopefully you made it. If it doesn't get home, hopefully you didn't get it in. 126.68 Canadian.
Oh, that's different, huh?
126.68 Canadian for the deal there. So I think that's worse than it was Friday. So, again, get on it.
There's another first down for Washington. Inside the red zone, first and 10 at the Seattle 17.
Score would be big for keeping it within 8 points, which is what I need.
Score would be big for young Gil just having Washington straight up. Let's go. For yet another 3-2, by the way.
Broke out the maroon jacket.
I'm going to go burgundy. It's more of an eggplant. It's very nice. It's very fallish, very autumnish. Well done. You're admiring your jacket.
I like it styling.
Yeah. Styling and profiling.
Yep.
Football team current drive, 9 plays, 56 yards. Coming up to 6 minutes. Heineke looking. Another short pass, wide open. That's going to be Adam Humphreys, everybody, if you're scoring at home. Heineke has hit a bunch of receivers on this draft.
Plethora.
Bates, Humphreys, McLaurin, McKissick. All of them. Thomas got one in there. It's at least five
Would
that
you
I count.
We have a plethora of pinatas.
A plethora of wide receivers catching the ball.
The other one that I kind of like here, Utah Friday night in the Pac-12 championship. Utah just crushed Oregon. Utah only a 3-point favorite here against the Ducks again. You don't think they're going to cover that? Give me some Utes.
In Vegas, right? That game's here.
That game is here. Chris Felica will join me in studio on a numbers game Friday because it's here. First and goal, Washington.
Score.
Let's go.
Score a touchdown. Scoring a touchdown, I would feel very good about my plus eights, which would make for a very swell week in the NFL.
I'm so sorry you only got a 3-2, so you can only max out at 17-3.
I can't.
God, you stink.
You are terrible.
You're terrible.
here's the thing too. So in retrospect, I didn't like the Panthers the week before. Mm-hmm. Because I said Cam Newton is garbage.
And hot garbage.
I bet against them because he was garbage. And then I did not even like the Panthers this week. I said it was a bet against the Dolphins as opposed to a bet on the Panthers. And that's just poor. That's a poor breakdown, poor logic, poor everything. Like, looking back on that, that is just a horrible, horrible way to go about betting and betting a game. So that is completely on me and just a terrible way to go about
it. But let me ask you this. Did you have Tampa Bay yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's, like, you probably should have pushed that, right? You had no business winning, but you got the best of that, right? Because Leonard Fournette's not going to go to the house 8 times out of 10. Get in there, Antonio Gibson. Ah!
Oh, boy.
So third and goal now as Washington tries to run up the middle and then on the outside.
That looks like a painful tackle. Okay,
five more pass yards. It's okay. We're going to get five more pass yards here.
This will be a very deflating field goal if that's what it ends up being.
Looks like this is one of those tackles where he gets like bent over sideways on that leg.
Ow. Yeah. Oh, how is that not an injury?
I didn't think he was going to get
up.
Oh,
my God.
And he did.
Oh,
I hate when legs bend over.
All
the
things
direction.
We see, that's not. Oh, well, he does. He does have a hitch in his giddy up as he walks to the sidelines. Antonio Gibson. Ooh, that was ugly. Third and five.
Logan Thomas in the game.
Empty backfield. This is for our first touchdown, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Logan Thomas.
Heinicke.
Am I Logan Thomas? Yes, I am a Logan Thomas.
Rushes out right. Man, but he throws it low.
Threw it 1 yard, less than a yard.
So Washington gets all the way down to the 5-yard line, and then no gain.
It was a heck of a catch, though, for that 1 yard. He went all the way down to the ground to make sure it didn't hit the ground.
That was deflated. I didn't think I was going to, and then now I am deflated.
I am deflated.
I think you incepted me because I'm deflated now. Sorry. I wasn't going to be deflated, and then I got incepted, and now I'm deflated.
Joey Sly to kick the 23-yard field goal. Washington's third field goal kicker of the year. Count it, 3-0.
11 points to work with.
Washington.
Kelly, we got 11 to work with.
Yeah, that is.
What was your favorite moment of the Chris Blewett field goal kicking era? Was it the time his field goal got blocked, or was it that other time when his field goal got blocked?
I mean, it's just the fact that, you know, he has that name in that profession.
Yeah.
You know what? I also should have said in my in the fruit baskets earlier, I should have also mentioned to the Jets, thank you, not only because I won the bet on you at +2.5, but also for beating them outright. Which all but ensures that I'm going to get the under on
True
my season total.
I thought about you.
Screwed up the fruit basket segment. Come on, man.
I should have added on to my love of the Jets also for the outright win, which is basically makes all but ensures that I'm going to get the unders on this on those Texans bets. So that is that was good on them. So I do appreciate them for that. And then also an honorable mention goes out to the Los Angeles Chargers for showing me your hand like we talk about this a lot. And listen, I understand I'm in a much different position than most people are to be able to watch all the different games. And I know that that's not in the cards for everybody else. So this isn't like, oh, I'm so good at this. It's just I'm fortunate enough to be able to do that. If you watch that game, they tipped their hand so quickly that they were just out of sorts and Herbert was off and couldn't figure things out and had no idea what was going on out there. And it was just a very, very fun in-game betting experience that game to just get in over and over and over again on the Broncos. That was just – and we can – tear up our Justin Herbert MVP tickets. Those can get lit. Those can get lit on fire.
Two fourth quarter interceptions for Justin Herbert, including a pick six,
and just in a half dozen other just horribly errant passes to guys that were open. And he was just all kinds of out of sorts.
How about 28-13? Brandon Staley going for two. Was there a penalty that got him to the 1 yard line? Is that why they went for two? Or are they doing the analytics thing there? I missed the detail. Anyway, that happened.
Also,
this just in, the Chargers will not be in my top 10.
the other thing that we should bring up. We talk about how the beat writers certainly make us money sometimes, and then there were other times that maybe they cost a little bit of money. This isn't either one of those. It's just I wish the Matthew Stafford story would have come out a little earlier in the week as opposed to Saturday, that he is playing with 9 different injuries or whatever. Yeah, did we hold that until Saturday, after I've already put on all these bets?
The story come out that he has Baker Mayfield syndrome?
Yeah, it's his elbow, his shoulder, his swear. It's what are you doing? Let us know that on Wednesday. Don't wait until the weekend to tell us that. Golly. So, that was
Except for he wasn't the reason they lost yesterday, right? Their defense just got rolled.
Well, he was pretty inaccurate.
Well, he has thrown a pick six in 3 straight games. I will give you that. Yeah. That ain't good.
Yeah, he was pretty inaccurate. And it's just man.
Here's the thing, though. The Rams are the one team that has gone all in, right? Von Miller, Odell Beckham Jr. on down the line. They don't have, the luxury of not getting to the promised land this year. Got to stop losing football games.
Yeah, there's no, we can make it this far, right? And it's a success story
it's
for the
Super
season.
Super Bowl or bust kind of thing. Yeah.
And there is a decision, an honest decision that has to made because to be made because of what you said, that you look and, this week it's the Jags. Can you beat the Jags with Wolford? If there really is, they listed 4 different injuries that he's been battling. If that is honest to God the case with Matthew Stafford, and this is Super Bowl or bust for them, and certainly you better make it deep into the playoffs, or this is a complete failure.
Yeah.
AAF legend John Wolford, of course, man. Throw him out there.
But you know what I'm saying, though? At some point, the Cardinals went the route of, we're going to sit Kyler Murray because we want to make sure that he's healthy for when it counts. If you're the Rams, I think you got to evaluate the game this week and say, can we beat the Jags? Can we beat the Jags at home without Matthew Stafford with John Wolford? Because, if you're going nowhere if you got to beat up quarterback, and there's just no way. There's no way. He missed too many throws yesterday. And there's just you can't win a Super Bowl. Oh my goodness.
Oh, Tyler Lockett as wide open as humanly possible.
Oh boy.
On a 3rd and 1, no Washington defender anywhere near him. And with 1:35 left in the first quarter, the Seahawks in business with their first down of the game, and
Russ
it was
could
a
have thrown
big
that
one
left-handed.
Whew. What is it, Devontae and Tyler Lockett put on an invisible cloak and they lose track of him? Someone check the ultimate.
I'm most surprised he got chased down.
Did he just run right by him? Oh, yeah, he just ran right by him.
Just ran right by him. Coming back, 3-0 Washington, but a precarious 3-0. Beeson's primetime action.
You are looking live at primetime action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We have a new prop tracker.
Tracking props!
Now available on VSiN.com for you to keep up with key NFL props. Head to VSiN.com to get current odds as well as the movement each week to follow the trends and find the best value. Track the odds for MVP, head coach, rookie of the year, and more. Check out the prop tracker, betting splits, key trends, and matchup data for every game now at VSiN.com/NFL. That's VSiN.com/NFL. We push our skins game. Russell Wilson to Everett, 6-yard touchdown pass, just outside of just literally just got by Holcomb's outstretched hands. Washington linebacker, and it is 7-3. Seattle with the big play, Wilson to Tyler Lockett on that drive on a 3rd-and-1 that flipped the field, and Seattle is up 7-3. And so, $40 apiece on Thursday, Cowboys and Saints. Are we excited?
So, first.
We haven't gotten past 40.
No. Yeah, we haven't. I'm a little surprised by that.
Me too. Anytime touchdown, by the way, for Everett.
You know what you could do to help us get past 40, Kelly, is you could quit picking the short shot every single time.
Yeah, you could do that. You know,
make it a little more fun.
Yeah, DeAndre Carter up the gut.
Oh, no.
33-yard line. That looked like it was going to go further than
that. Wow, the seas parted, and then somehow. Man,
somebody had a shoestring tackle. Shoestring tackle. Can we look at these college football futures? I know I tried desperately to talk college football last segment, but you guys weren't having it. But let's do the futures here, market again. Championship weekend, Friday and Saturday. Then the fifth rankings tomorrow, the sixth and final Sunday morning. We will know who the four in the football playoffs will be. Georgia's going to be there no matter what. Will Alabama, even if they lose to Georgia? Michigan in the Big Ten Championship after their big win against Ohio State. Oklahoma State getting by Oklahoma in Bedlam. They're 14-1. By the way, Michigan plus 850 to win it all. Bama plus 650. Georgia minus 220. Cincinnati, undefeated Cincinnati, 16-1. Will the committee find a way to screw them? They, of course, have to beat Houston, though, this weekend. Notre Dame 25-1. Could Notre Dame be in a playoff without a head football coach? Not talking about an interim coach, but like their actual head coach. And then everybody else there 100-1 and longer. Would you make a bet on anybody else here but Georgia?
Well, after our little segment last week, just for it's the like you talked about with your Kirk Cousins bet. Like,
yes,
I made the bet with absolutely no expectation of winning, but the 50-1 on Oklahoma State that was there. Like, listen, they have a decent chance to at least make the tournament. And so if I can get a team that's 50-1 in the tournament, I would take that like every single time. I don't care. Like you could literally tell me like they're going to start 21 points down, and I would just still. I mean, it's 50-1. They win two games.
Well, so now here's the thing: if they take a lead in a net, let's say they get there first thing. So they get in, and then they take a lead in a national semifinal game because they're probably not going to be favorites. Then would you jump in and play?
Yeah, I mean, then I just start like making some money, right?
Then you
like,
start making some money.
Yeah, then I just start making some money. So I did take a piece of Oklahoma State at 50-1. Of course, I mean they're not there yet, but they're in a good spot. So
Georgia just seems so much better than everybody. Although Michigan, can we talk about them for a second?
That was incredibly impressive.
Yes,
because that
was
a thorough beatdown.
It was.
That was not one of those. No. That was not a fake win at all. Like that was a thorough
utter
beatdown.
Line of scrimmage domination.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Also,
I don't know. Michigan is pretty interesting.
People choose to live there. Can you believe that? Did you see how cold it looked there?
Yes.
I cannot believe people choose to live there.
We love the people of Michigan. We just want to say that. But I told you when I went to school in Boston, I mean, you're 18 years old. I remember thinking to myself, people settled here in this cold?
I can't.
It was 40 below wind chill my freshman year. I was like, what is this?
The commentating crew on Fox or whatever was... Like every commercial, they'd come back and they would have like a new thing, like a new layer. Like they started with a jacket, then scarves, then it was like beanies, then it was like another jacket. Like they were just layering up like throughout the course of the game. It was
fun to watch.
Yeah.
On TV anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was a thorough domination. I was really shocked. I guess I wasn't necessarily shocked that Michigan could win the game. I was certainly shocked in the fashion that they won the game. I don't know if
me
any.
Too.
I didn't hear anybody, even people who were much higher on Michigan than other people. I don't think anybody was like, "Oh yeah, they're going to go in there and dominate."
I agree. I didn't hear one person say that. I did not hear someone go, "Oh, Michigan is going to beat them outright and soundly." I didn't hear any Michigan beat them outright.
Yeah.
But college football was tremendous on Saturday. Oh, watch your backside, Taylor Heineke.
Oh, boy.
Oh, how'd he get that off? And a completion.
That was a helicopter catch.
Wow.
We'll take it.
And yet another third down for Washington. I thought that was disaster. Taylor Heineke shaking his throwing hand after that.
Oh, boy.
He's all right. He's all right.
Are we already in the second quarter?
Yes. Second quarter just started.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. Look at that helicopter.
Wow.
How did that stay on target?
Oh, my God. helicopter to Antonio Gibson. Nice catch.
Like it led him perfectly still. Like, I didn't make any sense.
Third and short for Washington. Heineke over the top. No chance.
Bailout. Yeah.
One of the best plays
because that was definitely catchable, guys.
Oh, totally catchable.
That was catchable.
Totally catchable.
Yeah.
If you're 10 feet tall. Pass interference. Defense. There you go. Move the chains. Have no compunction getting bailed out
this
on that.
This is one of those. This what we're going to say, like, again. There's got to be two different versions of P.I.
On second review, he was taking the charge the whole
time.
No,
he was. Yeah. But, like, you're never catching. Like, so there needs to be, like, it was interference, but, like, you was never catching that ball. Like, that's a five-yarder.
hard to tell,
you
though,
was
right?
never catching that
hard
ball.
To tell if your progress is being impeded for 5 yards, though.
So first, I needed the catch right there, so I didn't need anyone to impede anything.
They're on 48. Heineke, lots of time. This time he throws it to nobody.
Oh, brother.
Guess Terry McLaurin was the intended receiver, but he was nowhere near.
He's going to get a target for that?
Second
but that's
and 10. Yeah.
Not really a target.
Yeah.
Do you think just Georgia is just so much better than everybody else?
I kind of do. Yeah. Though I will say this, like if you try to picture like that upset in a national title game that you don't anticipate, Michigan would be the team to do it. Like Oklahoma State, I thought it would be Oklahoma State, but after seeing them against Oklahoma, I was like, what happened to your defense all of a sudden? Where did that go? I thought that was the vaunted defense. Michigan would be the one. Like I would, and I think that would be the only team that would have a shot at this. Heineke, very poorly set up screen to Gibson's going nowhere. Third and 10 at the 48. Yeah.
So
Gibson not hurt, though. At least give him that.
The thing I will say about Georgia is if you watched those games, I mean, I think the box scores in a lot of these games are at least a little bit deceiving because the offense has been clunky at times. Mm-hmm. Like the defense has created so many short fields and so many turnovers, so many things like that, that like, you know, yeah, you look, you know, what are you talking about? They score 40 points every single game. But yeah, I mean, there's all 40 points. Terry,
the unstoppable Terry McLaurin.
Come on, man!
Does not come up with
this
it.
Time, just jump or something.
He did. There was some contact, and he broke out of it just a hair too late, and so he didn't really get a full. See how he got the jersey tug there at the end, right? Here, just kept. Oh, he took a bad step or something. Got tugged.
He like took a step inside.
Yeah. Oh, well thrown ball by Heineke. Ah, the unstoppable Terry.
That was a great pass,
Terry.
Washington will have to punt it away. Tress Way in to punt it. Seattle up 7-3. And they will field this one back at their own 12-yard line. 13, fair catch. Right. No flag. Thought there would be one. 13-yard line, 1st and 10 for Seattle.
That's a heartbreaker.
Ah!
Multiple reasons.
Yeah, that's...
I needed those yards.
Yeah.
For both Heineke and Terror.
You.
I do agree with you, Gil. I think that's about as close as I've ever seen a gunner to the punt returner without them throwing a flag on that.
Yeah, I thought that was going to induce a flag.
It was like, I'm going to get right up in your face and then back off at the last second.
Let's play some defense. Another barn burner, two nights in a row. By the way, we haven't, of all the games yesterday, by the way, we haven't talked about... We haven't talked about the Bengals and the Steelers and just the absolute... blasting of the Steelers. That game was 17-3 very quickly. Bengals scored, then there was almost a pick six. It was 5 yards short of a pick six. It was 10-0. Then Steelers got a field goal. Bengals made it 17-3. And then Mike Tomlin, with two very questionable choices to punt the football, and next thing you know, the route was on. Steelers matches the worst loss under Mike Tomlin, 31 points. Their largest halftime deficit since 1989, that franchise. Bengals have a shot at a number one seed if things break their way, but their schedule's difficult.
Schedule's difficult, but, I mean, I was, you know, look, I understand I'm higher on this team than most people are or whatever, but it's the offense has been there all year, right? And the offense is multiple. It's can that defense hold up? They were able to hold up against a very, very poor Steelers offense. It's can they hold up against, you know, whenever they start facing some of these offenses with a pulse. But that Steelers team is, that they're dust with Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback.
5-5-1 Steelers in a division that's still very tight. Ravens, the number one seed, currently at 8-3 after their win last night. We'll look at those AFC yes-no playoff props. We'll do that next, and we'll also look at Week 13 lines. Seattle and Washington, 7-3. It's VSiN's Primetime Action.